One more time.
Good morning. We're calling to order the Wednesday, April 24th, 2013 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Atahara-Taylor at the controls, who's the executive secretary for the hearing today. So I'd like to begin with some general information about the variance hearing process. First, for the hearing today, the applicant and or owners of the property will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to grant a variance, to justify a variance, have been met. During this time, the applicant and or owner should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak on the item. And afterwards, if there is any public testimony in opposition to the project, the applicant and or owner will be allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take an action today, may continue it to a further date, or take the matter under advisement for a decision at a later time. There are no items on the consent calendar today. There will be a general public comment at the end of the hearing. That's for items that are not on the calendar. I'd like to go into next the criteria for justifying a variance. And Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Due to the current backlogs and number of variance cases, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up form against the far wall. That's very important because it's the decision letter which carries with it the 10-day appeal period to the Board of Appeals. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we encourage parties to talk about the project, we would ask that that be done outside of the hearing room to avoid disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for May 22nd, 2013. And that's the next regular variance hearing. And also audio recordings of variance hearings beginning with the January 1st, 2011 hearing are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. I would like to begin with two housekeeping items, and that's going to be a continuance of two items, items number one and number four. Item number one, which is case number 2011.0896V for 225 Santa Ana Avenue. That item is proposed for continuance to May 22nd, 2013. This is because a discretionary review request was filed on this case on Monday afternoon. We would anticipate that unless if the DR is withdrawn, that the variance hearing would be further delayed probably till June or July, and we would have a joint hearing with the Planning Commission as they consider the discretionary review request. So again, that is proposed tentatively at this point for May 22nd, 2013, would likely continue to a future date. And the second one is case number 4, 2005.1155V, 3249 17th Street. This item also had a discretionary review request filed on it, and that is scheduled to be heard by the Planning Commission on May 16th of 2013. So we would continue this item to a joint hearing with the Planning Commission, noting that that would be at Thursday, May 16th, 2013. Hearings begin at noon, and this would be considered jointly with the discretionary review request, and that is in room 400, just down the hall. So is there any public comment on either of these items, on the continuance only of either of these two items, 225 Santa Ana Avenue or 3249 17th Street? Seeing none, we would continue both those items to the date specified and keep the public hearing open for hearing on those dates, and we can move on to the regular calendar.
Item number two, case number 2012.1406V, 4616 3rd Street, usable open space and exposure variances sought. You're the sponsor?
I am.
You have 5 minutes.
I actually am a little unprepared because I've never done this before, but because I thought actually everything that you just read was answered in the application. And so should I rather ask you if you had any questions on it, or should I just read you the application again?
If you just would provide an overview of the application, this is the public hearing process. So we do have your application filed. We've reviewed it, but this is a public hearing, so you do have to make oral arguments regarding your case and justifying your case.
Okay.
You can just reiterate what's in your application.
Okay, thank you. So I currently own 4616 and 4618 3rd Street. It's on two buildings on one lot, and 4618 is on the front on 3rd Street itself, and that's a restaurant called Auntie April's Chicken and Waffles Restaurant. And in the back is a 1860s shack, basically a cottage that has been there since the 1860s, and in fact probably 100 years ago, they changed the lot lines to take a little chunk out of my neighbor's yard to put up this building. And so there's a 5-foot little insert inside of the neighbor's yard on Oakdale. And so the upstairs, it was in terrible shape. It was all falling apart when I got it. And I fixed the foundation and made a really quite beautiful, if you ask my opinion, 3-bedroom, 1-bath unit upstairs with granite countertops and brand new everything. And there's now a Section 8 lady in there with her kids and her sister. And it's safe. It's not on 3rd Street's not a great place to raise kids, but this is in the backyard, and so it doesn't get any of the noise and the craziness that you can find, i.e. gunshots and various crazy people, that is on 3rd Street. It's in the back. It could be in suburbia. It's so quiet back there. And additionally, I own the property next door, and that's commercial with upstairs another Section 8 lady with some kids. And so the yard doesn't have a fence in between it, and so the backyard of the property next door is really the play yard for all the children that are back there. And it is quite a community, with Auntie April kind of overseeing the women back there and making sure things are okay, and she's kind of the on-site property manager for both sites. So when I fixed this up in 2010, I believe it was. No, 2011. 2012 was last year. When I fixed up the upstairs and having poured the foundation and got everything leveled, it turns out that the area that I had been using as storage, though, had originally been part of the house, and you can still see the built-in cabinets for the dining room, and it was all one house. But it was kind of going into the dirt. So after putting in the foundation, it turned out there's 8.5-foot headroom from the bottom to the top. And so it would be beautiful if I could additionally add another unit with the exact same floor plans and the exact same clientele and the exact same everything as what I did last year to create one more housing unit in the Bayview, which is going to be, again, affordable and Section 8 acceptable. So the problem is this 1865 house is on the back property line, which is probably a rear yard issue, but because it's existing and nothing's changing, that's not the issue that we're here for today. What's the problem is that the end of Auntie April's restaurant and the beginning of this cottage is not sufficient open space, and there's no access to the street except through a service entrance that's about 3 foot wide. And that's the existing conditions. There's no way of moving any of anything around to make it a larger access or to make the open space any bigger. So I'm here today for a variance because it's an available housing stock that's just being sitting used empty, and it really should be an additional housing unit there. And it in order to create more yard, I would have to remove housing from upstairs and make the three-bedroom a one-bedroom and tear out a building that shouldn't be touched. It's a historic building. So it's not an unusual situation. I think there's plenty of rear cottages throughout San Francisco. But the way to comply would be so extraordinary that I would not be able to do this project. And so I'm asking for the variance so that I can just fill in this the shell and put in the walls and make a housing space. And it would, again, be the same exact type of housing as I already have done last year.
Thank you. I think you came very well prepared. Thank you for your presentation.
I live and breathe this project in my head.
Thank you. So we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Is there any public comment on item number 2, 4616 3rd Street? So seeing none, I'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that the property is located within an NC3 zoning district, which would actually allow up to 5 dwelling units on the property. This is just adding a second unit. You have an existing legal non-complying structure built in the mid to late 1800s, and so you're just seeking to actually not even expand that, but rather just to add a unit in the lower level. So it seems like a very reasonable proposal, and I think the findings have been met. So we'll close the public hearing on that item, and we can move on to the next case.
Can I ask just a little procedural question, which I should ask first?
That's fine.
You mentioned it'll take 2 more months to get this decision, so I have to wait 2 more months for a building permit?
Have you filed a building permit yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so staff can proceed. Has neighborhood notification been completed on it?
Yes. May 15th it will finish.
Okay, so I will ask staff to get working on the decision letter now, so when the neighborhood notification is completed, that we'd be able to sign off on the building permit application.
Okay, and additionally, I don't actually have a photo on me. It's in my phone right now, and I've already sent it to the planner.
That's perfect. Yeah, it's just as long as we have a copy of the posting material. So there was an affidavit, and then photo is required. As long as you make sure that staff has that material, then again, I'll ask them to work on getting the decision letter prepared so we can have that done by the end of May.
Okay, so then I will scan it and give it to my planner, and that's enough, this posting thing?
Yeah, you can even sign it and give it to us now, and then as long as staff has the photo, that would the two work together.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. So we can move on to the next case.
Item number 3, case number 2013.0251V, 3524 18th Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Morning. Here's the affidavit. So, yeah, we're looking at here. This is the showing the back of the property. What we have is a house built almost 100 years ago, and there's a room in the back that you only access through two of the bedrooms. So it's really very isolated and very awkward. And we looked at a number of different arrangements, and it seemed that the best way to integrate this space, make it work with the house, was to actually build an infill addition over the existing level 1 in that area. So we would build this infill addition at levels 2 and 3. The building won't be changed in height. There's already a building that goes, we won't go beyond the existing building. And the neighboring building in the area is a blank wall and is actually longer than our building. So this is the area here, and we actually have, there's a photograph over here. You can see that the area that we're talking about right here. So that there's, we're not going to be impeding the neighbor. I think that's it. Are there any questions?
So if you could just go into a little bit more detail about how the 5 findings have been met and the issues related to hardship here.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the difficulty was, again, in trying to find a use for this space. This is an isolated room, and there was really very little to do that could do with it. The other parts of the house, a lot of the other parts of the house, the front, say 40% of them, so are very original, and they're in good condition, and so there was a strong desire to preserve that, and not to destroy those areas. And like I said, we looked at a lot of arrangements, and short of kind of tearing the house apart, tearing it down or tearing it apart, there was no real way to connect this space. Let me look at the other things.
Okay. And then
in terms of the relationship to the neighborhood, this is an R3. It's a 2-unit building. We're going to keep it as an R3 2-unit building. In terms of its that relationship is absolutely being preserved, and that's one of the goals of the project too.
So as I understand it, your primary arguments are you're not increasing the overall depth of the building.
Correct. Correct. You're not going to change
that mind. You're building out against an adjacent blind wall, so right. you're not causing any impact on the adjacent property,
right.
and it's kind of an odd space for your
Correct.
Property.
Correct. And it's actually a very dark corner. The existing bedroom that ends in it, that looks into that area is very dark because of the fact that the subject building continues on another 10 feet or so, and so does the blind wall of the neighboring building, and you wind up with this very dark, very small space. It's also, I mean, that bedroom is not a very pleasant, not a very great bedroom. And again, the blind walls, it is, there's no light wells, no windows, no vents or anything. There's no issues there, I think.
Okay. And so, as you know, this is a north-facing facade. So
Correct.
Why it's
Correct.
Dark. Okay.
I think that's...
Thank you. And the Section 311 notification expires next
On
week.
May 2nd.
May 2nd.
Correct. So we're still...
Yes. Thank you.
That is posted. We're that's in process.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see. Is there any public comment on this item? Item number 3, 3524 18th Street. Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that the overall depth of the building is not increasing and that it's making use of what is otherwise considered dead space. The adjacent property extends further out and would not have any impact on that adjacent property. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 4, which will be continued to May 16, as mentioned earlier. So item number 5, case number 2013.0157V, 160 Belgrave Avenue, front setback and parking screening variances sought. Is the sponsor of this project here?
Yes.
Ma'am, you have 5 minutes.
Okay. Here is my affidavit of posting with pictures and a signed petition by one of the neighbors across the street. I have been working on this project since 2009, and originally I submitted two permits for first a two-car garage that would match the neighbor's street on either side of the existing driveway garage on 160 Belgrave. And the last discretionary review I had was approximately January 2011 with Craig Nikitas as a consultant, basically advised me the city would not approve either the two-car garage or the one-car garage. So my next plan, because my mother is in a wheelchair and it's difficult to get her in and out of the car because we are on a graded, to get her out of the house, I have a 50-foot aluminum ramp that runs from the front door to the street. Then I have to push the wheelchair up to the top of the hill. It's quite a long sidewalk area, and then try to get her into the car. She has fallen on several occasions. I've had to pick her off the street. So because of the curbing and whatever, it's very hard. Now, with the current plan, with a parking pad, there is a requirement that the bottom of the pad be no longer or no taller than 3 foot. Originally, when we were building the garage, it was a 4.5 foot approximately height, which would have made it level with the street, so I could have taken the wheelchair off the street right into the garage, but that's not the case now. So the slope existing on the driveway, which makes it hard to get into the current two-car garage, is approximately 18.5 degree slope. So it's extremely steep. So with this coming off the street level, going down 3 feet, I've got another, it's going to be like 1.5 feet grade down, even at 22 feet, to get my mother in and out of the car if, whatever, unless I park her up on the street, that means I have to leave her somewhere and drive the car up to the street and then load her in and out. Anyway, so basically, this is the letter that I proposed January 3rd, 2010, per San Francisco Glenn Cabreros was asking me why I needed this all in the first place. And I said, we welcome a review of our plans to add a garage at 160 Belgrave for many reasons, the first being safety. The current driveway where the new unattached garage is planned is extremely impractical, steep, and dangerous. When my mother was able to walk, she fell many times trying to retrieve her newspaper garbage cans to and from the street. I am not able to use the current garage or driveway for my car as I am extremely concerned about hitting pedestrians, especially children, animals that are being walked by their owners, and cars that are passing. There is inability to see anything approaching the driveway area because there are two concrete posts at the end of the driveway with a approximately 5-foot concrete brick fence on whatever. So it's a blind area when he comes shooting out of the driveway. My parents used to do it years ago, but now the pedestrian traffic, the car traffic's much heavier. I'm 65 years old. I'm getting older, and I don't want to take risk. Okay. Continuing the letter. My mother has been disabled for many years, has a disabled placard. She stopped walking about 3 years ago and has been confined to a wheelchair. I have a large aluminum ramp installed from the street to the front door for her wheelchair in February 2007 with a permit from the city of San Francisco just to get her out of the house for the doctors and appointments. The design of the unattached garage is keeping with the neighborhood, the neighbors on both sides of the house, similar garage space at the street level. Plans call for a garage to be unattached to the house to maintain the original integrity of the house. Plans are similar to the house next door at 144 Belgrave, was being built by the same architect. Their driveway was also steep, and their garage was added over 40 years ago. I have asked for a flat slanted roof so solar panels could be added, face the southern sun exposure. The current ceramic tile roof of the house is an impractical, would not be aesthetically pleasing facing the street for any future possible solar panels. Street parking is a liability to my mother and my car. My car has gotten gas siphoned several times, been backed to twice, hit and run by drivers, broken into three times. I have difficulty getting my mother in and out of the car at the curb. The curb adds a higher level for her to try to get in and out. She's almost fallen several times as her legs give out. If she's out in the street, then she has to step up into her chair. Being on a hill, the wheelchair wants to roll away. I appreciate the city's concern. It's a project I've not taken lightly. Okay, so now I'm at a parking pad. Okay, and sorry.
That's all right. If you could just wrap up your presentation there.
Yeah, this is the parking pad that's proposed. These are the two concrete posts on either side. This is a brick fence here. This is the neighbors here, the neighbors over here. I just plan to have a parking pad here, add some concrete just to get, this is where the aluminum ramp is located.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to do an extension, aluminum extension from here over to some kind of concrete pad so I can get my mother here easily in and out of the car.
Will you be doing that as part of this project?
Yes. It's technically, I guess I might need another,
variance.
A variance. Thank you. But originally...
Well, how high above grade is the deck or the ramp?
The ramp is about 3.5 feet. It's, you know, it comes right out of the house, which is up. I've got pictures if you need it.
No, that's fine. I think it's clear. The plans do indicate that.
There's about six steps to get from the garden area up into the main house. And then when you go out to the street, because it's about 50 feet, you're flat on the lawn. Then you have about 8 steps up to the street level.
Okay.
So the lawn area is sunken.
Okay.
It's a sunken area.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and we'll come back to you if you have any questions. Is there any public comment on this item, item number 5 for 160 Belgrave Avenue? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on this item. I'm inclined to grant the requested variance. I would also include within that variance authorization a variance should one be necessary for the construction of the ramp connecting the parking pad to the existing ramp, so you don't have to come back for a second variance. So this would cover the entire project. And so you can see staff if you have any questions about that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And so again, public hearing is closed. Declined to grant the requested variance. And we can move on to the next item, item number 6.
Item 6, case number 2012.1027V, 3700 Broderick Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here?
Yes.
Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay. My name is David Armour. I'm a principal with Armour and Vokich Architecture, and I'm here to present the variance application for 3700 Broderick. 3700 Broderick's a three-story single-family residence with a small penthouse level built on a lot that's zoned RH2. The property is in the marina in a known liquefaction zone. The property is owned by John and Angela Grawl, a retired couple who purchased the home last year with the intent of living there for the rest of their lives. To make this feasible, they tasked my firm with renovating the home with two major goals, accessibility and seismic safety. In order to accomplish the goal of accessibility, the front door, which is currently located at the first floor above the garage story, is being relocated to the ground floor, and the interior stairs are being relocated to allow for the addition of an elevator to provide access to all four levels of the home. The stair and the elevator are located here within the buildable envelope of the lot, the buildable area of the lot, which is on the north side of the structure. The adjacent neighbor to the north, which is here on the drawing, has numerous property line windows that, based on our visual analysis, appear to be original to the property, and therefore my clients asked me to keep the structure, the additions away from the property line so that there weren't going to be any, or to minimize the effects on light on the adjacent structure. And with that decision in mind, to keep the additions on the north away from the property line, they're the only developable area remaining on the lot is beyond the line of the required rear yard. So a few facts about the property. The lot is exceptional in that it's quite substandard in length. It's only 58 feet, 3 inches long from east to west. And the house is 48 feet, 9 inches long, and a setback 6 feet from the front property line. The zoning of the lot's RH2, which carries a 45% required rear yard. Despite the fact that the house is just a single-family dwelling that normally would be on an RH1 lot with a 25% required rear yard. The zoning was established after the original construction of the home, creating a condition of existing non-compliance. The variance is necessary to preserve the right of the owners to make improvements that otherwise would not require a variance were the lot not substandard in length. The horizontal addition does not increase the length of the existing structure, but simply expands the structure laterally towards the side north lot line. And only two small portions of the proposed additions are subject to the variance application. The bulk of the additions are within the buildable area. The circle of the areas that are sort of subject to the variance. There is, at the far left, is a three-story extension. There's a one-story deck with a trellis above it, and then a two-story lateral extension on the very rear portion of the building. The proposed design will still meet the required open space requirements per the planning code. And in conjunction with all the work, the house is going to receive a full seismic upgrade and new mat foundation in order to address the fact that the house is in a liquefaction zone.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
So you mentioned the concern that your client had regarding preservation of the property line windows on the property adjacent on Broderick to the north. I had heard that there were some concerns from the neighbor on Jefferson to the, I guess it would be the east, about property line windows, or was this flipped?
No, we haven't received, to my knowledge, any comments from the neighbor on Jefferson. So that's the first time I'm hearing of it, actually.
Because I think staff had said that they had been contacted by the neighbor on Jefferson with concerns about the windows that face the property, but I think staff explained the project to them, and maybe that addressed their concerns. Or maybe there's someone here that speak at public comment on that. So we'll see if there's any public comment, and we may come back to that item. But also in regards to the buildable area, I mean, you know, there's a side setback. You are building into that side setback. Do you have a calculation about how much the property encroaches into the rear yard as compared to how much buildable area remains on the property? Is that offset in any way? The encroachment into the rear yard is offset by the lack of development on other portions of the property. Do you have an idea of that calculation at all?
I don't believe I have a sort of a specific calculation to that effect. Trying to... 45, 48, 9, 9. No, I'd have to follow up with some feedback on that. But the there's a large remaining area to which would be like the northwest corner
right.
here. Oops, sorry. In this area.
Okay.
And in working with planning staff on the front end of the project, and in terms of addressing massing at the street facade, and looking at the design guidelines, we were encouraged to avoid development in the sort of the front 15, 20 feet of that area, so that the massing of the front of the building would not become out of sync with the rest of the block.
Okay. Well, let's move on to public comment and see if there's any issues that come up there.
Okay.
We can move on to public comment for this item, item number 6, 3700 Broderick Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Pamela Rishwain, and my husband and I own the home that is facing the rear yard where our neighbors would like to expand their home. As much as we want them to have the home that they desire, we understand from reviewing the plans with our neighbors and reviewing them on our own that the impact of building their of extending their building through their rear yard and up four stories where a two-story home is going to impact both the light and air passing that comes between our buildings. On the north side, to my understanding, there's no control as to how much they expand their property, which we understand that. And that is going to inhibit some light flow that we have. And the asset to our home is that it is not touching any buildings. And that was something that very much turned us on to this property. And we feel when we go to sell the property one day, that is something that people are going to like, that it's not touching the neighboring buildings, which we all know in San Francisco that is quite unique. Well, as they bring their building closer to the rear yard, all of our windows are facing west. And since it's going to go wider both horizontally and vertically, it's going to inhibit light that passes through our home, which is important to us. And we just wish there was another way this could be considered so that it wasn't directly impacting our home, because we want to live happily in our home the same way they want to live in their home. I realize that visual aspects are not considered in San Francisco, so it doesn't matter that now I'm going to stare at concrete as opposed to the street that I have between the north home on Broderick Street and their home. But I would just like it to be considered that the reason there are setbacks is to allow visual and spacious air and light between the properties, and that's going to be inhibited. And I wish that could just be considered.
Okay, thank you. So have you been able to speak with the project sponsor or either the owner or the architect about your concerns yet?
I have spoken with the owners.
Okay, but not with the architect.
No.
So. Okay, so I think it
would
might be...
Would you advise that?
Yeah, I think it's probably a good idea to get a better understanding of the project, because what we have here is there are two issues. This is the variance, which it does encroach partially into the required rear yard. Most of that would be at the very rear, which is actually one story with a trellis above it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that most of your concern may be related to the expansion of the building to the north, which is largely within the buildable area, and there's a separate process for that, which is a neighborhood notification, which I think will expire on May 17th, and you would have the ability to file a discretionary review on that and have those concerns addressed by the Planning Commission. So there, just to clarify, I mean, the bureaucracy has many aspects to it, and so this is related to more to the rear yard variance, not to the entire expansion to the north.
Right, and I understand that, and I address that. I said there's nothing we can do to the north, but how about
there is the
vertically?
There is the discretionary view, which, so I don't really think that there is nothing that you can do. So there is the process, and I would suggest that you contact staff regarding that. process, the discretionary review process, which you could have those concerns heard, even though it's within the buildable area where the planning code allows development, they don't need a variance. There's still a discretionary process that you can avail yourselves of. But right before even getting to that point, I would suggest meeting with the project sponsor, the architect, going over the plans. Maybe kind of if they can better explain the plans and how it may or may not impact you, might be helpful, or they may be able to consider changes to the design that could address your concerns. So I just would suggest that at this point.
How about in terms of the variance, the rear yard, is anything, you know, that we're concerned about at all legitimate to?
Yes, I mean, I definitely hear your concerns. I think, you know, it's a balance here because you have a property which is existing, legal, non-complying, that you have a runaway there.
Sorry.
That's okay.
My babysitter of all days couldn't come.
No, that's okay. I understand. So, you know, that I do understand your concerns.
And the mass of the building, two stories next to four stories, that is going to inhibit light.
And that's a balance because part of that is within the buildable area, which is not subject to the variance. You know, the lot is very kind of short, very odd-shaped. It's a non-complying structure. I think that there are arguments to justify variance here, but I will say this, I'm not prepared to make a decision at this point because I think that all the parties could benefit by having some discussion here. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do, and well, let's see if there's any other public comment here, and then I'll say what I'm going to do. So,
okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
So next member of the public.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
I'm Ford Sibley. My family's the owner of the adjacent property, 3708. We're the original owners of the property, bought it from the developer. And we're very close to the old owner, Mr. Hall, who also bought his from the developer, and have always, you know, cherished that obviously open space, which is considered, obviously, I understand, buildable. But I would also argue that, as he brought up, due to the, you know, substandard shape of the lot, adding to the mass of the building certainly doesn't help the cause of having a substandard sized lot. We obviously, when the developer built these two projects, they realized that due to the rear property, which was hers, that they wanted to leave open space between them for the lack of light and air because of the short rear yard. So I feel like even adding to the rear or adding to the side or adding to massing in any way would, with the exception of the top and front, I don't see how anybody would really have a problem with that. I don't even understand why they built that penthouse so short, because that's obviously buildable up to, I don't know what this third story rear setback is from the front, but it just seems like the original intention of the builder, obviously the code was changed to 45% setback after the buildings were built, obviously, or they never would have been built. But by adding more massing to two substandard sized lots is just increasing the original problem, which is the lot's too small. So I don't see how, you know, and I do think, you know, they are single family homes and four level homes. And obviously I think there's some ways to mitigate the issue of the side setback, the rear setback within the existing envelope. I would also say, I understand, I don't know why they didn't have a pre-application hearing, a pre-application meeting. I know that the planning department instituted a pre-application meeting to notify the neighbors to have a full set of plans on the property and invite all the neighbors so that we could look at it, discuss it, and get feedback. Well, I never got notification, so I don't know where they got their list from, but obviously my address is on the list because I got this.
So you're the owner of the adjacent property.
Right. My family, yeah.
Okay. So so for that process, it should go to the abutting property owners and occupants. So
right.
You should have been informed of that.
Right. So, I mean, I know planners, obviously there's always an issue with what planners think's best for the neighborhood and what owners think's best for the neighborhood or neighbors think's best for the neighborhood. But the front of our property here basically has just a couple little windows. But the back is, you know, back here is where all the there's like a breakfast nook and kitchen and kind of like the general meeting space of the house. And the front of the house is all windows. And then there's just a couple little air light and ventilation side pop-out windows.
So if I understand your concerns, then the proposed fourth-story expansion and building that out to the front is not a concern.
No.
What about the side addition to the north that's within the buildable area? That is a concern.
That's a concern, obviously, but that would be more addressed in the discretionary review.
And then the rear yard variance is also...
Well, because the rear yard variance also encroaches into the side.
Yeah.
This portion right here, this little square right here, is past the 45%, but yet is still a horizontal addition into the now non-buildable portion of the lot.
Okay. Well, thank you for your comments. Okay, appreciate it. Is there any other public comment on this item, on item number 6 for 3700 Broderick Street? Seeing none, a project sponsor, you would have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, first to address the issue of the community outreach meeting, we did have one. The addresses we used were generated by the same company who generated the addresses for sending out the public notification, so I'm not really sure what happened, and I regret the fact that you weren't at the meeting, but in fact, no one attended the meeting, but we did send out the notices. However, we haven't been approached with any comments by any of the neighbors.
So this is the first that you're
this
hearing?
This is the first I'm hearing from, personally myself, hearing from either of the neighbors.
But it sounds like your client has heard some of these concerns already.
I'm not sure. Not that they were communicated to me, if they were. So a couple of things that I guess want to just reiterate is that, and I've added a couple of notes here, just a 3, 2, and 1 here to indicate the number of stories of each area within the required rear yard. This is the 3-story area, which, it's adjacent to the 3-story area on the property that the person who was just here speaking, and if anything, his lot is the same length as our lot, and this proposal projects less into the required rear yard than his own 3-story sort of sunroom, if you will, projects. And then the 2-story addition over here in the kitchen is sort of lateral addition within the required rear yard. The adjacent building is 3 stories. This is a 2-story area right here. This is a 4-story area. And then this is just the 1-story deck with the trellis above it over here. One thing that we are open to, if it comes down to it, is the potential for some reduction in mass in this 3-story area over here. It's something that we might be able to have some flexibility to work around that. And certainly I think would welcome discussion about that, assuming the rest of the parts of the project were, deemed approvable or permissible, whatever the right terminology is.
Thank you. I would encourage you to discuss those alternatives with the neighbors. At this point, I'm going to close the public hearing on the item, but I'm not going to take action on the case now. I'm going to take it under advisement, and I would suggest that you discuss some alternatives with the neighbors prior to the expiration of the Section 311 notification on May 17th, see if there can be a compromise solution. As I noted already, I think that there are some justifications for a variance, whether or not as to the extent that you're currently proposing is another question. And so, again, I would like you to meet with the neighbors, discuss some alternatives, and report back to department staff.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Thank you. I'll give you a set of my notes.
Thank you. Okay, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 7, case number 2013.0270V, 55 9th Street. Permitted obstruction variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Jeremy Paul here for 55 9th Street on behalf of artists Brian Goggin and Dorka Keen. This project is a result of the best uses of the funds designated under Section 149, better known as the 1% for Art program. This new building under construction on 9th Street, just below Market Street, has chosen to have a site-specific artwork created that will provide a unique and distinctive statement to the street. What this is a series of floating glass pianos that will project over the sidewalk along the entire street frontage at this location. At the lowest point, there are attachment details. If you can see the front image, that the lowest point of an attachment detail is about 8.5 feet, but most of the structure floats considerably higher above the street. As far as the findings necessary for granting of a variance, I believe we've met all five findings, specifically in that the exceptional and extraordinary circumstances are that if in order to create a public artwork conceived specifically for this site, it would require a variance in order to do it in this way. The location directly below Market Street is very distinctive, and there's a significant public benefit to be derived from using this space in a way that expresses San Francisco's artistic interests. The exceptional and extraordinary circumstances would follow from the requirement of Section 136 being a limitation that would prohibit the kind of artistic use of this space that we're making here. These artists have done similar works in San Francisco that have extended over the public right-of-way in ways that have not required variance. In 1997, my office did the permitting for the famous and somewhat infamous defenestration project, which we never expected would still be up so many years later. Ms. Keene and Mr. Goggin also did The Language of Birds at Broadway and Columbus, which has been such a heralded and important artwork in that community. Ms. Keene is here if you have any questions about the artwork itself. I know that she has some comments to share with you. I've got a couple of letters. A couple of letters of support that you may not already have in your file. There's been considerable public support in the art community for this, and we'll be happy to express that further if necessary.
Thank you. I'm surprised no one in the rendering is actually looking at the art. There's someone scratching their head, someone playing with a dog. Next time, we're going to have them looking at the art. I think one of the things you noted, this is public art. It's a public art requirement. The staff has worked with the project sponsor to find a code-complying alternate location for public art, and it seems that it's difficult to find a suitable location on the property. There's the loading dock on the north side of the building. I think it's an entry. But that would not be quite as visible a prominent location for the public art as this one. So it is certainly achieving the goal of the public art program. But thank you for your presentation. We'll see if there's any other public comment on the item. Again, item number 7, 55 9th Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm Dorca Keene. I'm one of the artists, and I'm also a commissioner on the Commission on the Status on the Arts Commission. I used to be on the Commission on the Status of Women. But I'm very excited about this project, both as an artist and as a commissioner. This obviously fits under the general plan that art benefits the quality of life in San Francisco and certainly is a great example for the 1% tax for the arts. We are very fortunate to have been commissioned by a developer, Avalon Bay, and in particular Meg Spriggs, who is a big supporter of the arts and has really made the decision that art is going to be a major selling point for their building and really talks about the economic impact of art in our city. As Jeremy Paul mentioned, there is a precedent of public art hanging over the right-of-way, in particular Language of the Birds, which is completely over the plaza on Columbus and Broadway, and did win Best Public Art in the United States in 2009, as well as Defenestration. There are also two other examples by two other artists, which actually came before the planning commission with Jill Manton. One was a piece by Joan Brown in 86 called Dancers and Musicians, which is on the Performing Arts Garage, and another was in 85 Spider Pelt by Dustin Schuller, which is on the Moscone Parking Garage. As an artist, we really want to create a piece that excites people, that creates wonder, that is a tourist attraction, and we really believe that the location of this piece and the piece that we created will do all of that. We really want to make something that is going to make the developer proud and that is going to be a wonderful addition to the public art in San Francisco. So I don't know if you have any questions.
No, thank you.
And you're right. We just pull those little people off the... So next time we'll have to get some that are looking up. So thank you so much.
Thanks. Is there any other public comment on this item, item number 755 9th Street? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on this item. I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2012.1510V, 439 Broderick Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes.
My name is Darren Lee. I'm one of the property owners for 439 Broderick Street. We're seeking to a variance to legalize an existing rear deck that has been built at the property at the time we purchased the property. We are seeking a variance actually to reduce the south side of the deck by 1 foot and expand the north side of the deck by 1 foot, thus creating a setback of 5 foot on each side, therefore eliminating the need for a firewall. Variance was granted on this property about a year or a year and a half ago. We started construction. And we receive opposition from the neighbor, so we revised the plans to eliminate the need for a firewall. We did have a pre-application meeting with all the neighbors, so hopefully the neighbors will support this as well.
Thank you. And I noticed that the Section 311 notification was completed on February 16th, and there were no discretionary view requests. But were there changes made after that?
No.
Notice. Okay. So, but you've addressed all the neighbors' concerns by removing the need for a firewall.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there any public comment on this item? Again, item number 8 for 439 Broderick Street. Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 9, case number 2012.1214V. 777 Buena Vista Avenue West, front setback variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? No show.
There's always one.
There's always one.
So we'll hold this item over and move on to the next case, which is item number 10.
Item number 10, case number 2012.1506V. 710 Steiner Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Lewis Butler. I'm the architect for the applicants at 710 Steiner Street. This variance is to add a bay window and a deck and some miscellaneous items in the rear yard. 710 Steiner Street is, of course, one of the Painted Ladies, a very popular destination in San Francisco. The house has new owners who are very interested in restoring the house. I'll return to that at the end of my introduction. The meeting the findings on this project, I'll kind of summarize how we came to that. The house is obviously extremely historic. It's in a historic district. Our only possibility for improving this house is off the rear of the house. The house has a deeper lot than the other Painted Ladies, and in fact, it's even apparently deeper than that because there's a dog leg on an adjacent property that gives it a visual depth that is even beyond the rear property line. Also, there's a very tall apartment building on the south side, a very different condition than the other Painted Ladies have. They're very much the monopoly houses in a row. This one has a very large six- or seven-story building on the south side. In addition to that, there is a very large redwood tree in the backyard. So this Painted Lady is really kind of jammed in a corner, not in an unpleasant way, but I believe in a way that does change the conditions on the rear of the building. The other Painted Ladies also have miscellaneous additions on the rear of the building. I think all that's fairly evident in the material. The fun part about this project is that the house has been built by a young couple, technology couple. They're absolutely dedicated to the full restoration of this house inside and out. So it's undergoing a full restoration as we speak. We're very excited about that. And I mean every detail considered, both inside and out. The other fun thing about this property that people may not know is that both these this row of houses and also one on Broderick Street are in the introductory in the introduction of the TV show Full House, and they receive 100 visitors a day. It's just amazing how many people are running around Alamo Square trying to find that house for that reason. It's quite a commitment to live in this house. It turns out when you're in the living room, you have 100 people or 200 people sitting on the hill in front of you. They really feel like they're in the room with you. So I had never experienced that before until I visited the house for the first time. So this is kind of fun because when you live in a landmark and it's a very public landmark and you commit yourself to restoring it, it's a bit more of a commitment than perhaps the public realizes. So a little bit of anecdotal information at the end, but I thought it'd be kind of fun. So any questions, please ask me, and I'll do my best to answer.
Thank you. Actually, I live in the neighborhood, and I'm in the park a couple times a day with my dog, and I'm always or often asked in many languages which one's the Full House house. So, yes, I'm well aware of that.
And I live on the Broderick Street block, so I get to get the same information there and send them to your area.
Oh, thank you very much. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and item number 10 for 710 Steiner Street. Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item, but note that it is a historic resource, very clearly and deservedly so, a historic resource. It did receive a CFA, a Certificate of Appropriateness, from the Historic Preservation Commission. It is somewhat of a substandard size lot, a little bit narrower than typical, 23 feet, 3 inches, and shorter at 85 feet. Does have somewhat of a front setback, and so there's also no other place to develop on the lot. So with that, I'm inclined to grant the requested variance and move on to the next item.
Last item, case number...
We'll get the posting directly to the planner, too.
Yes, just okay, thank you. Item number 11, case number 2012.0715V, 1655 Page Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here?
Yes.
Ma'am, you have 5 minutes.
Hi. My name's Ann Evans. I'm the owner of 1655 Page Street. It's the top floor of a two-unit condo. And this variance is to legalize a small deck and staircase built to access the backyard. So this was built, it was built to be able to access the rear yard. Previous to this, there was no direct access to the backyard. And also, as a fire safety, there was no way to exit the rear of the house previous to this. So the deck is very similar to the deck on either side of the house. Both properties have small decks with staircases that look very similar, as well as many of the houses on the block. And I had a neighborhood notification sent out, and on May 17th, I held a meeting at my house and showed the plans. And a few neighbors came by and submitted letters of support, and I had no neighbors object to the plans.
Thank you. Were you the owner of the property when the work was performed?
Yes, I was.
Permit. Did you use a licensed contractor to
do
the work?
Yes, I did.
and they failed to obtain the required permit.
Yes. Okay.
And when was that work done?
It was done. It was done after this was submitted, I believe, in September 2012.
Okay. Oh, so the work was done after the application was submitted?
Yes.
How did that happen?
I believe there was about 10 months lag time before it was approved, and it was built after it was submitted, but before it was approved.
Okay. So I'm assuming this won't happen again, and
no.
All proper permits will be obtained before doing the work?
Yes.
Okay. That's what we'd like to hear. Thank you. is there any public comment on this item? And again, the final item on the calendar, item 11 for 1655 Page Street. Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it does provide access to the rear yard from the upper unit. The Section 311 notification expired on April 10th, and there were no discretionary view requests. So we can go back to the item that...
The one that has no show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Item number 9, case number 2012.1214V777 Buena Vista Avenue West, front setback, Brian Sott.
Okay.
Are you the sponsor? No?
So I see the project sponsor is not here. It's a no-show. We got one per hearing. So this item will move to our next open calendar, which unfortunately will not be until June 26, 2013. So public hearing to remain open. The item continues to June 26, 2013. With that, we move on to general public comment. If there's anyone who has general public comment.
I have a question.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Because I heard you just say the next open calendar is June.
Yes.
And the May calendar is...
full.
It's full, yeah.
How do we find out the agenda items for an upcoming? I know the website has past agendas on it, right?
The agendas are published about 72 hours in advance, so they're at the end of the week before. Is there an item that you're interested in?
I don't think there's any urgency. I'm happy to ask the planner for an
update. Okay, yeah, because you can ask the planner assigned to the case for a status on what calendar it may appear on. You can send me an email, and I can check as well and get back to you. We'll see you soon. So with that, the public hearing is closed, and we'll readjourn on May 22nd, 2013. Thank you.